Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
It's dark outside and you are the star of a streaming dark fantasy film. You run down a stone hall, but the hall just keeps getting longer and longer. Your ears ring with the terrible low rumble of Netflix sound editing that means all dialogue is reduced to a sad underwater mumble. Frantically, you put the subtitles on because the sound quality is so bad you could be screaming and not even know it. In a flash, the enemy is upon you. You try to cry out, but the words that appear on the screen are just square brackets, the gargle. Close square brackets. This is The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for visual world. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Tom Needham and Nabil Abdul-Rashid. How are you? Welcome.
Hello.
Hey.
I feel like I was more enthusiastic than either of you.
I was just terrified. You were describing what happened to me yesterday in that intro, so it was uncanny. I was like, oh, wow, were you there? And I was like, oh, no, that was just another nightmare.
I'm from South London. On the inside, I'm ecstatic. This is just how much it bubbles over on the outside.
Before we take hands and leap together into the ice-cold water that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front page of the magazine. Noted attention lover and richest proof in the world that you can't buy happiness, Elon Musk has demanded that Twitter's engineers fix his broken levels of audience engagement. So he's now posing with his tweet about the Super Bowl, which unfortunately got fewer likes than a similar tweet by Joe Biden. Have you survived Twitter?
Just about. It's weird. My tweets either get ignored or I get like loads of really angry far-right guys threatening to beat me up. this one guy said he was going to come to my gig, then blocked me. I think he looked at my display pic and decided maybe not. But that's pretty much how Twitter goes for me. I'm either being ignored or yelled at by angry people, a lot like my childhood.
It's the saddest joke I've heard today, Nabil.
I'm going to keep them coming.
Can I start by just apologising to Nabil because a lot of those tweets I sent, I was drunk at the time. So thank you for joining me.
That would explain the spelling on all those tweets. Stay out of our country, ARE tree. Yeah, that
And breaking news, Mr. Wilkes of Booth Road Willoughby has fallen foul of the local Librarians League after being found in the children's book section with a magnifying glass trying to discover if Mrs. Titmouse really was a mouse with tits. And the satirical cartoon this week is the makers of the Doomsday Clock, which measures how close humanity creeps towards apocalypse, putting in an application for us to go into penalty time. That's satire about how miserable everything is.
I used to get really scared about the Doomsday Clock. And then I realised that it's not actually moving, like it's frozen there. So, and also, it's only going to go to midnight when we're all dead, so...
Oh, and they can go backwards. They're allowed to go backwards. So there's... Yeah. What's the point of it? It's just... It's just a real-time Nostradamus, which ceases to be impressive, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, regular clocks go backwards too. I think the solstice and the time of year scales back doomsday, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just not as impressive. It's like predicting 9/11 on 9/11.
No. I mean, what if it works with the relativity of time and as things change, it changes. So like a whole bunch of people become vegan, the clock goes back a bit. Mm-hmm. But then, like, Celine Dion decides to release another album, it moves forward. You know, like, that's what...
Well, speaking of things moving in directions that they ought not to move, today's top story is that the Earth's core may have stopped spinning or may even now be spinning backwards, according to a new study that makes me want to cry. Tom Neenan, you've been to the Earth's core. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, certainly. That's why I've got a magma hat. Does that work? This is news from the Peking University of China.
It doesn't work, but it makes me laugh, so...
It's red, but only because it's molten. That's the... We'll stick with that. Yeah, so this apparently is that they've said that... roughly, Peking University of China said that the Earth's core stopped rotating at around 2009, potentially, is when it actually completely stopped. And I don't want to put all the blame squarely on the release of Fireflies by Owl City, but that, you know, correlation is not causation, and that could have something to do with it. Should we be really scared about this? Like, is this the kind of thing where, like, Michael Bay has to make a film where he sends, like, the Harlem Globetrotters, like, trains them all to be miners so they can go down into the Earth's core and get it spinning? nobody else knows what I'm talking about.
I'd whistle the theme tune, but I can't.
Yeah, the bill was just miming exactly that, which is, yeah, do we need to like put it on our fingers and just get it spinning? Because otherwise, yeah, are we all in serious trouble? What does this mean? And if it doesn't mean anything, why do we care? That is my question. Does anyone have the answer?
Well,
I mean, I just saw that story and I thought, why were you digging there? Like, what were you looking for? What do you know about the we don't know? That's like coming home and your cousin's like, hey, you know, some of your underwear has holes in it. I'm like, yeah, well, they're the most comfortable pairs, but why were you going through my why were they digging through the Earth's core? How do we know? Maybe it's just resting. Like, how do they know it hasn't moved since 2009 if they haven't been checking since 2009? And if so, what are they looking for? Like, I'm not the most sciencey guy. But you see, in the sci-fi movies, this is where things start to go wrong because they end up finding something they shouldn't have found. I say, if the planet has indigestion, just drop some Gaviscon in there and leave it alone.
Well, according to this model that they're proposing, it kind of spins one way and then spins the other, like when you wind up a globe that's hanging from the ceiling and it goes one way for a while and then it kind of...
Right.
Goes a little bit. I don't think that's how it works at all. And in fact, I know that that's not how it works because that metaphor was a terrible one. But basically, it goes. It's not covered in ants. Apparently, it turns turns back and then.
I feel like we put this on you now, and you're trying to explain it in a way that no one else has tried to. So I'm sorry about that.
Essentially, it's that the Earth's core does change direction. The question is whether it changes once every 6 years or once every 70 years, and the fact that we don't know, but we have a lot of data, is always upsetting to me because it makes me feel like actually sometimes the more you know, the more confusing it is. Like, for all I know, the Earth's core is just grooving and moving in its own, like, mood-based, just attached to some 14-year-old's mood ring on the surface. It decides to spin on its own recognizance.
Well, does it, like, go in circles? Like, is it the kind of thing where the last time that the Earth's core stopped moving, I don't know, World War II happened or something? Like, is there any kind of mystical element to it that we should be aware of? Are we going to see people rising from the dead?
I reckon it's something like everyone just has a really bad period but no one talks about it, so you wouldn't know.
Go with the flow.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. This week's episode of the podcast is brought to you by IKEA, releasing its range of atomic furniture for the second nuclear age, featuring new office desk, the Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer office furniture. Now I am become desk. I'm sorry.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. And today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by forgiveness. Forgiveness, it's good for you. Good for them, but never as fun as revenge. Go on, dig that grave for two people. What could go wrong?
Forgiveness is a dish best served tepid. That's what I always say.
And today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Mrs. Titmouse Bathing Witness. If you want to watch Mrs. Titmouse bathe, all you need to do is bring your ogling goggles and half a glass of water to fill the bath. She's a small mouse with big tits.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And now it's time for your employment news. And this is the news that having, quote-unquote, won the war, Taliban bureaucrats are not enjoying office life. Nabil, you've worked in an office once before. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes, I worked in an office for the Taliban. I'm joking. All I'm saying is I understand their frustration, you know, because having worked in the office for a while, I almost went on a jihad, but that's because the HR department were dicks. That aside, you know, these guys are upset. You know, they miss the old days. I just think, can you imagine the tension working with former Taliban in the office? Right? Like, can you imagine Taliban working online? Now that is a keyboard warrior. That is the definition. Can you imagine having to fire one of them? Right? You're not being very productive. Said, I didn't work in production. I worked in destruction. Yes, well, that's... you're fired. Okay, I'm fired, am I? All right, then. I'll be sending you my letter of resignation. Make sure you open it.
A lot of these bureaucrats used to spend their time riding around the countryside on horses bullying people, and now if they want to bully people, they have to apply to HR for a permission. It's not fair. Tom?
Yeah, are you saying that that the Taliban used to work in the open air and now they have to work in offices with small windows? So you're saying that the problem with the Taliban is they now have quite narrow views? Thank you. I love it. They wanted a job and now they found a job and heaven knows they're miserable now. The Taliban have gone full Morrissey and I for one I'm here for. I think it's wonderful. Basically, I think this is what happens when you get a Taliban who are mainly staffed by millennials. They just don't want to work. They just don't want to sit in the office. I find that car bomb triggering, etc., etc.
I have to say, I prefer the quiet quitting trend in the Taliban than the old loud quitting that they used to do.
The loudest quit it's possible to do.
The next stop is the emo Taliban, and I don't think we're ready for that. I
well, they only harm themselves. That's the real shame.
This is my last resort. Boom. No.
It's terrible. I worry that this is too political as a story. Ped, can you ring the politics bell? But also, I feel like part of the reason that the Gargle avoids politics is because it's very divisive. And I have to say, if you're a pro-Taliban listener, you can apply to HR for a permission to go f*** yourself.
Sure. I mean, there will be listeners. There are people who work in an office. They're bound to be listening to podcasts right now. So hello and stop, I guess.
You know, they took over the country, right? Remember when they first took over the country? And people were like, oh my God, how did the Afghan army not stop them? They were trained by America. And I'm like, yeah, of course, that's why they couldn't stop them. The Americans taught them to fight the American way, which is with drones. But when they left, they took the drones with them and just left them with the control pads. You ever play PlayStation with your younger brother? You just give him the dead control pad. Which one am I? The one being shot, mate. So that's how they took over. And now they're stuck playing games on PC in the office.
You're saying solitaire doesn't quite cut it? Because I have to agree.
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Nabil, what have you brought in for us this week?
My daughter's fictitious tea. It's 0 calories. It tastes like whatever she says it does. And it keeps her quiet when you drink it. What could be better? It's not very filling. It's not. Not much energy. But hey, if you're lactose intolerant, it's brilliant for that too. So I would give it a 3 out of 5 review because she stirs it with plastic corn. And like, you know, I don't care how much of an imagination you have when you watch someone stir a cup of tea with plastic corn. It's kind of disturbing. She wants to be a chef or a magician. Again, very disturbing that I'm drinking magic drinks. So yeah, I give it a 3 out of 5. Hope she can't hear me because I'll be in trouble.
I mean, either way, chef or magician, nothing up my sleeves is a good start. Tom, what have you brought in for us?
I don't know if we can have some kind of whimsical bed under this, because as in sound, not...
Any bed I'm in is whimsical, Tom.
Yeah. Here we go. This is a review that looks at how they have poems in all adverts now. Sickly ditties written in verse to ease the icky capitalist curse. A young woman, kind, a smiling face, often from a regional place, talking lyrically of the amount she's saving in her gold account. They're annoying, cloying, drive me berserk, but I'm talking about them so you know they work. It takes their bank and makes it ours, in a twee way that's evil, no stars. That was a satire on modern advertising, and you're more than welcome.
To biotech news now. This is the news that Americans are preparing to test their embryos for their future test results, essentially. Always fun to reduce children to science that's essentially your mum squeezing an avocado at a supermarket and going, nope, not ripe enough for Harvard. Nabil, you're contemplating sending your child to university. Can you unpack this story for us a bit?
I mean, I read that and I thought, wow. And I thought Nigerian parents were pushy when it came to education. Like, can you imagine having the genes to go to Harvard and still failing your exams? And then your parents just showing you a piece of paper as you as an embryo saying, you see, this is what we were predicting. But look at you. You can't even measure up to yourself. The good thing, as a Nigerian dad reading this is that it's the embryo, not the sperm. So if anything goes wrong, you can always blame the mom. So I think that's the misogyny. No.
Surely it's only a matter of time.
I mean, this is all nature versus nurture stuff. I mean, all the real question of whether a child gets into an Ivy League college is about how much self-loathing you manage to imbue them with in their childhood, that they feel that they need the external validation of some overpriced college. Tom?
If you want to look at an embryo and see if it will get into a good college, then you just need to know, did the parents of the embryo go to that college? Because that's usually a good sign.
I think it has a lot more to do with your bank account balance than your eggs. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Call me crazy, you know. And if you're going to do that, you should have a bunch. So you could have like a Premiership League football test.
Yeah.
Then an NBA test, heavyweight boxing test, and like maybe even a TikTok test, you know. Twat test. Oh, wait. Is he going to be a famous influencer?
I mean, I do think genetics have something to do with academic success. And I know I think this purely on the anecdote of a family friend who is the headmaster of a school, quite a fancy school in Austria. And he says that these children come through, the first generation of children do really well, then the father gets divorced. Hooks up with a very attractive but not necessarily quite as intelligent lady, and the second round of kids come through and the dad's like, why are they not doing as well as the ones from my ex-wife who I met at university? Why are they not doing as well? So that's my theory. They're very beautiful, that second batch, but they're not hitting their high grades.
If you can afford to have your embryo tested to see if it will go to a good university, it's going to do fine. You've got clearly got cash. That child will be fine.
Unless you got the test on voucher.
Well, I mean, that child will not be fine in any way. That child will go...
It's not psychologically. No, definitely not.
And now it's time for our e-mobility news. This is the news that Volkswagen has sent 22,000 employees to escape rooms for the best kind of fun, corporate fun. When I initially read this, I thought these can't be real escape rooms. They have to be Teslas that you have to get out of before the fire starts. But no, they're genuine escape rooms. Tom, you've driven a car. Can you unpack this story for us?
Firstly, incorrect. No, I haven't. I cannot drive. To me, it's a wondrous bit of magic that people perform that I can only dream of attempting.
That's you and most Uber drivers, though.
Oh, I am an Uber driver, definitely. No stars.
Just putting all your cash in the bank on self-driving cars coming along before you get too old, right?
Oh my! Well, until they get my first booking, that is the that's panic. So yeah, a bunch of people who are trained in sort of building things and putting things together are now sort of basically being told that they need to work sort of in a quite a boring job. Do people work in VW? Are they the Taliban? Is that how this works? That they're just being trained up? Yeah. So it's pretty sad that people who got into engineering because they wanted to. They like cars, they like how the internal combustion engine works, are now sort of being told, oh no, it's mainly maths now. It's mainly maths that you've got to do, and Excel spreadsheets, instead of actually, you know, sort of getting to put a car together, which is a shame, I guess. Although, if everything's going to be automated soon, and then I guess that's just the way the world's going. Although, I don't know how escape rooms are going to help you do that, because in my experience, basically escape rooms are just... Basically, I did an escape room a while back and I found it one of the most stressful things ever and did not replicate anything I've ever experienced in the real world, unless that is trying to escape from a fictional prison where a psychopath is going to arrive any minute, but then when you don't get the clues right, actually is delayed and doesn't turn up.
Well, it's meant to be a quote-unquote playful way to swear its employees to the age of e-mobility. The VW Group is trying to, you know, reframe for its employees the concept of no longer building cars, but instead working as data logisticians.
Of course.
I don't know, man.
Look, I back VW for a pivot. They have managed to pivot into being the hippie car from being the Nazi car.
That's what I was thinking.
The Wagen des Volks has become the Wagen of getting high on a road trip. So look, I wouldn't count them out.
Yeah, I mean, I got worried when I heard they were sending people into escape rooms, because when their founders did that, people generally did not escape. Ish. That aside, it's probably easier to get out of an escape room than it is to get out of an electric Volkswagen car. You can't find the handles. What is it about these electric cars and the cryptic puzzle that they do with where they put the handles for the car? I don't get it. It also doesn't help that most electric cars are designed for vegans, and I clearly am not one. So getting in the car is a problem in the first place, and now getting out of it, I'm trapped. Don't mind me, I'm just triggered.
Part of this escape room thing seems to be sort of beginning the retraining process, and they're suggesting that the training process could last up to 378 days. So essentially, more than a year of your work will just be forgetting how to build a car and learning how to help a robot build a car.
Already I have notes, because if training is going to last 378 days, you think, could you not just... Make it round it down to a year and just, like, I don't know, put a few extra hours in each day or something. It's just an annoying amount of time, because it's just over a year, and I kind of think, well, that's, if you said, oh, training will last a year, I think most people can factor that in, but 378 days is just, like, it's just irritating.
I'm only happy with this being the way of doing it if they do it the whole training course, like it's the Maze Runner, where you think you're just doing a series of increasingly complex puzzles, but each one is training a new ability, and by the end you'll be able to fight for Volkswagen in the car wars or whatever it is that's coming for
us. Up against Tesla.
Yeah. I haven't read Maze Runner. Is that what happens? Is that a spoiler?
No, it's not quite a spoiler. They're testing them. They're trying to build resilience against a virus. They're using children instrumentally in a way that we don't generally accept, except when we do accept it. You know?
It's very good. It sounds a bit like Ender's Game as well. A lot of those books are quite similar. So basically, they're taking, like all books do, or like all weird companies do, they're taking their cues from dystopian novels that basically say, if we end up here, all society has collapsed, and going, what if we ended up there? That would be good. So that, yeah. I guess that's concerning.
Yeah, and all IP is interchangeable. All language is just a quotation, you know? You don't know what an apple is. You've just heard people talking about an apple in other contexts. So when you are using the word apple, you're just recontextualizing somebody else's intellectual property.
It's like a quote that I've just come up with now, all language is a quotation.
I know a few comedians that believe in this philosophy as well. But yeah.
Naming no names.
Put them all in an escape room. That's my new off with their heads.
Yeah.
You'll be first up against the wall in the escape room trying to solve the boringest puzzle. The future is a series of increasingly dystopian escape rooms until you realise they're not an escape room, it's just your life.
What is a prison but the world's hardest escape room?
Yeah. Hey, guys, let's all try and figure out how to survive the night by catching fish in this polluted sewer. But if you say it in that voice, it's like you're doing it for fun rather than survival.
Just pretend it's a stag do. Everyone's happy.
If you kill 50 mutants, you can live to see the dawn. And you get a special hat. I don't know how games work. I find it really stressful to play games because I'm compelled to be productive at all times. So if I'm playing a game, I'm like, where's the outcome? Like, what are we producing? Can we podcast this? It's not mentally healthy, but yeah, I find it genuinely stressful playing most games, either because I feel really accountable to the avatar for letting them die because I don't have enough skill, or because I hate fun.
Is your next podcast just going to be called Peekaboo and it's going to be you playing with children? I'd listen.
I mean, yeah, it's very difficult. I'm writing my new show. It's very difficult to defeat my own self-doubt in the face of my child cheekily pretending to eat a crayon as a joke today. Going, nam, nam, nam. And going, no, that's not for eating. And her knowing that it's not for eating, we're going, nam, nam, nam.
It's good material.
That brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ads at the back of the magazine. Nabil, have you got anything to plug?
I'm doing a bunch of work in progress shows. It's more fun than touring because I don't have to be funny. And I've got a documentary that I've filmed with a bunch of other people coming out in a couple of weeks. They haven't given us an exact date. And I'm hiking through rural Portugal, being chased by wild dogs while visiting the holy city for Catholics, Fatima.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Wow.
Genuinely, that sounds really lovely. Tom, what have you got to plug?
The Hauntening Series 2 is currently being repeated on Radio 4. I think there's been two episodes out and the third one's out next week, so you can get all those on BBC Sounds. And we've recorded a short for Sky, which is, I think, due out in March. I think I can say that. I think it's been announced. But that's called Silo, and I think that'll be out on Sky, and also they'll be putting those on YouTube, so you can watch those. So be sure to look at my Twitter and stuff, and I'll be posting links to those when they become available. Oh, and my Twitter is @tneenan. Otherwise, that's pointless me saying any of that.
And a big thank you to our roving reporters this week, C Lips, who sent in the Earth's Inner Core and College Embryos story, Danny Rosnablay and Abdo, who sent in the Taliban bureaucrat story. If you would like to be a roving reporter for The Gargle, tweet us @HelloGarglers with stories that you think would be good for this show. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs, which you can get there for free, as well as my weekly Tea with Alice salons, which you have to subscribe to be part of, or my weekly writers meetings where we do a workshop if you're writing something and want me to tell you it's shit. All good. Sometimes I say it's good. I am on tour with my new show Twist starting on the 28th of February in Adelaide. I will be then in Melbourne at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival at Trades Hall. I will be in Tokyo on the 18th of May at the Tokyo Comedy Cafe. Then I will be in London and then I will be in Edinburgh. So keep an eye out for that I have also launched season 2 of my podcast, Tea with Alice, which is me having tea with interesting people and talking about difficult topics. I did 300 episodes, and then I took a year off, and so now this is season 2. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.